I'd like to think a little tonight about influence. I'd like to start 24th chapter of Matthew. It says, but of that day and hour in the 24 and 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I suppose that the second advent of Christ is probably one of the most anticipated events in all of Christendom out throughout the ages. The Lord, I'm not really very smart, so I've known people that tried to narrow this thing and they worked with it and tried to narrow it down. I remember several years ago, some folks got it together and they figured it out and they had it down, and of course, it was years in the advance. And about 1996, these certain events was going to start happening. And through the next 3 or 4 years, it was going to have all these events. They had them lined up, and then they said they knew they couldn't get it down to the day because the Bible says that. But they narrowed it down within 30 days. And old man, time. Called him a liar on it after a while, because time kept coming on and the events didn't happen. And tonight, I don't like to exercise myself in things too big for me. And so I don't attempt to do that kind of thing. Lord, help me not to. So I don't know the answers to the questions of when Jesus is going to come. But I do know he said he's coming. And you know, it's hard sometimes because in this modern world, we've lived a long time and he hasn't come. And people do look and say, they've been saying it for a long, long time. And people have looked at it and said in the last generations. I read writings of a good many years before. As a matter of fact, there was writers all the way back to shortly after Christ that wrote that Jesus would soon be coming and all those things. And it's been many centuries that he hasn't come. And I don't know. I'm not going to go into things bigger than me. But Jesus said that he was coming back. And I still believe that he will. I believe that the Lord's coming back. And of course he's closer now than he's ever been before. But the Lord said that he was going to come back. And that's a serious event, a serious thing to me to think about, that the Lord's going to come back someday. I want the Lord, I want to be ready. I want, whether he comes back for me individually or he comes back for us collectively or whatever the Lord does, I want to be ready for that time. My philosophy is to be ready and stay ready. And then you won't have to worry about all the rest of that. The scripture says, but as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So let's look tonight for a little bit. And again, my topic is influence. Let's look at the days before Noah a little bit. Want to get the last verse of the fourth chapter of Genesis first. It says, and to Seth, to him also was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Well, Cain and Abel had made sacrifices to the Lord before that. I really think what this passage of Scripture is saying, that there was a time that men had populated the earth. There was men now. There was a group of people. And this group of people that came from the descendants of Seth was people that was interested in God. They were called the sons of God. These people, this group of people, And I believe this is clear enough in the Bible. There was two groups of people. There was the descendants of Cain. You know, the descendants of Cain did not follow the ways of the Lord. You can read about them. They had followed. They was a group of people, and the descendants of them, they was the ones that first was mentioned of the man that had two wives. There was a scriptural definition of these people, and it wasn't that they followed the Lord. They didn't. They didn't have a mind to follow the Lord. I think they didn't have any idea of following the Lord at all. They followed the passions and the ways of men. That was on one side of the spectrum, but there was another group. It was almost like there was two sides, two different groups of people, separate groups of people at this time, if you want to study it out in the scripture. And this was the other side of the scripture. Some say that the word should have been more accurately said, that they took on the name of the Lord. They took on the name of the Lord for themselves. And I believe the reference is to where the one side ruled themselves. The other side did whatever they wanted to do. These men came to a point and place in time of their society and said, we need something. How are we going to function with one another? What are we going to do here? We're going to call upon the name of the Lord. We're going to have God as our ruler. God's going to be the one that leads and guides us, because they called on the name of the Lord. So there's these two different groups. There is the descendants of Cain, obviously. You know, they was the first one to make instruments. That was recorded in the scriptures. But why is it important? It is important because the music was sensual. It stirred the passions, the emotion. That's what that reference is about. They become the builders of musical instruments, and they were totally following the passions, the desires, the what made them feel good and all of those things. And leave God out of it, order out of it, right out of it, make yourself feel good type life. On the other side was men that chose God. You know, there was an influence to that. There was an influence to that. I'm going to take a little liberties, but you give me the liberties. And if you know better, but give me a little liberty here in this idea. Could you imagine what it was like for Adam and Eve to walk in the cool of the evening with the Lord? Now, when Isaiah had his encounter, he just cried, holy, holy, holy. When Moses was in the Lord, he had to put his hand over him. You can't see me. Let him see his hand. They've seen him face to face. In their purity, they had no reason not to. Do you know that Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the cool of the evening? I wonder what the communion was. They communed, didn't they? Doesn't that refer to talking, communing, giving one back and forth? I wonder what the questions might have been. Perhaps they knew more than you ever think that they could have known. Is God light? Is God truth and understanding? I think being in His presence would be totally enlightening to understand things. I know I'm in a little space here, and the Lord, how big is this that you made for us? Well, it's about 25,000 miles around, if you want to know, and it's a sphere, and you think they might have asked some questions and understandings of the universe and things around them? I say they could have. Maybe deeper things of understanding of spiritual things and angels and all of those kind of things. They was right there to ask him, commune with him. I'm taking liberties, of course, but they communed in some way. They had some kind of relationship with the Lord. I think it was only natural that they'd have told their son that. I think there was influence that influenced these siblings of them, that the best way would be to be in contact with our Creator as much as we can, and He'll help us. And so I believe they made a way, a cultural way. I believe the Lord led them in that early time. So let's look at the sixth chapter. It says that it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, some have went way out there with that passage, and thinking that it was talking about angels or some kind of a super race of that come down or something like that. I don't believe that at all. I think it's pretty clear that he's talking about these people, these men that chose the way of God to call upon the name of the Lord and have God's name for their leadership. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. The sons of men. Men begin to populate. Now there's interaction. Now there's influences. And now the sons of God look at the sons of men, and they look at their daughters, and there was influence because they were fair. They were beautiful. They had something that was tantalizing. It was something that they reached for, longed for. The sons of God hooked up with the daughters of men in that early time. And they took of them wives. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Some strange passages in here just to read, isn't it? But my spirit won't always strive with men because he seeks the flesh. Because he lives to the flesh. Because he gives all his honor and his passion and his desires to the flesh. My spirit won't always strive with them. Do you know the only way to be saved is through the Spirit of God? The only way to change is that God deals. The only hope that mankind had in this day of Noah was that God worked with their souls. There was no way for them to change themselves or determine to change themselves or will to change themselves or, if I may say, even want to change themselves. Why would they want to? Why would they want to without God, Spirit, to bring them to the place that you need to, that you have a reason to, that you have a hope to? God's Spirit was the answer to this time. But he said, my spirit won't always strive with man. There'll come a time that I'll quit striving because the decision will be laid out there. I'll give the opportunity. The influence of the Spirit of God is trying to influence still today. Thank God that he still influences today. You and I can be under the influence of the Spirit of God. He can still do just like he's always done. You know, he can make us, in Romans 8 it says, as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are called the sons of God. These were sons of God. Because he was led by the Spirit of God. But there come a time, we're talking generations from Enos, seven, I don't know, from Adam, maybe nine generations. I don't remember counting. But there was a generations and men began to populate. And these that desired God and was so close to that testimony of Adam and Eve's walking in the garden, the influence began to diminish. Do you know that it isn't enough for Tamia to follow Brother Salmons around this country? That wasn't enough. It was good. It was influencing, but it ain't enough. It isn't enough for us to rely on and thank God for our heritage. I thank God for the witness of holy men. Amen. But it ain't enough. It ain't enough. I'm going to have to maintain being led of the Spirit. I'm going to have to be led of the Spirit in my life so that I can be called the sons of God. Not to be able to just testify for other people's sonship. I need sonship for myself. I need to be able to witness that I am led of the Spirit of God. I'm a son of God. I'm not striving for the flesh. I'm not trying to get, what do we say, the excitement of it, the incitement to be revved up in the flesh. But the sons of God made a mistake. The sons of God made a mistake. They didn't look and say the danger. Maybe they did. Maybe there was old heads there. Maybe the Spirit of God said, no, don't do it. I'd like to say he did. With that liberty, I think the Spirit of God said no to that. Don't go to the sons of men for your wives. Don't go for the reason that you're going for, but they chose it. Listen to the scripture. My spirit shall not always strive with man. We ought to fear that passage. For it happened to them. And it can happen to us. My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And that was a prophecy of the time that Noah would take. Preacher of righteousness, Noah, the one that's going to get through Noah would be the way of escape. Then some more strange passages. There were giants in the earth in those days. Now, why would God interrupt this idea to say there was these great big old guys? What difference does it make? How big they were. You know, this ain't talking about how big somebody was. Really, I think it's a reference to the social standing of the Cain side of it. They were fellers. They were tyrants. They were bullies. Their whole system, social system, was made around you being big enough to hold the territory. They were animalistic. There were giants in those days that ruled that side, and that was the way the function of it was. But on the other side was the sons of God, led by the Spirit of God. You know tonight that there isn't no giant big enough to upset you. There isn't no giant big enough to take your sonship away. They want to influence you away from it. Because there is not enough devils in hell to take our salvation from us. There isn't enough giants. There were giants in the land in that day, but they wasn't too big that the sons of God had to give in to them. They could overcome them by the Spirit of the Lord. As David did with Goliath, he overcome him. It was a pure sign of the same thing. It wasn't just that Goliath was a big man. But you know what he represented? Flesh. Pure flesh. A great big old hunk of flesh is what he was. That is our battle still today. Our battle is still the flesh. The spirit wars against the flesh. The flesh wars against the spirit. Folks, it did it all the way into the antiquity of it, in the ancient days. That's what they was doing back there. But the sons of God made a mistake because they looked and saw the fairness of the daughters. Subtlety. It looks so harmless. They're so weak. They're so beautiful. I don't think it happened in one generation. Or even two. I think that it happened in the points of time that the influence of giants began to influence into the sons of man or the sons of God. It says there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that. Now listen at the language. There were giants. And after that is when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men. And they bare children to them. The same become mighty men, which are of old men of renown. They become the influence. They become the power of the influence. That word renown means like, for instance, Alexander the Great was born Alexander. But he didn't have a great stuck to his name. He got the great stuck on there when he conquered the world. Now he's Alexander the Great. He become renamed or renowned. Everybody knows him now. He become something of a conqueror, a powerful person. These people were renowned. They were mighty men. They were capable men. They were also ungodly men. They had taken the best of the sons of God. You know, we live in quite a world, don't we? We live in a world of influence. You know, there isn't enough devils in hell to take you down. you're going to have to give it up. You're going to have to give it up. You know, there wasn't an enemy that could stand before Samson. Samson had had a vow on him, and God was faithful to that vow every time that guy got in trouble. The Spirit of the Lord came upon mightily upon him. And that Spirit come on him, he could take the city gate off. He could take 1,000 down with a jawbone. There is nothing they couldn't do because the Spirit of the Lord came on him. You know, he made a big mistake. He found a woman fair. He wasn't whooped by power and strength and by might. He was whooped by influence. He was whooped by coming inside. Folks, listen, the devil's after every one of us tonight. And we've got a great big world out there tonight of influences. Influences is everywhere. We have influences coming in from all different sides. It's always been that way, a way of influence, because God is God. When you're hooked up with God, there's nothing can take you down. So there has to be influences to try to take you away from God. They were people. They were men. These children become mighty men. And were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What happened to the sons of God? Were they? They were sons of God. There was a nation of people. There was a group of people. There was a lineage, a heritage. There was people that had passed down that Adam and Eve had walked with God, and this is what they said. This is what he'd done. This is our heritage. And now, there's a meshing, a working, and no more sons of God. But the Lord looked down and saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You mean they went from this all the way to this? They were violent people. Wicked people. People that only always, the scripture says that the imagination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. There was no desire for good. No desire for right. No desire for better. You know, we love everybody. We're taught by the Lord and filled with the love of God in our hearts that we love everybody. And tonight I can say it loud and clear. We love everybody. But there's things, folks, that's just wrong. And the influence is trying to influence us tonight to change our sonship. It's trying to lead us where the Spirit of God's supposed to lead us, in our hearts, our minds, the way we think about things. The enemy's trying to come in and influence us. There's a great power of influence out there today through the media. Media is everywhere. The ability to contact for hearing is everywhere. The airwaves are bombarding and desensitizing and making us feel. I thank God that we've had standards over the years against some of these things. And they make more sense now than they've ever made because of the influence that is trying to take our sonship away. Hollywood. I don't need to say more, but I'm going to anyway. You really think that they have holy principles in mind when they do what they do? You really think that there isn't something that makes them think, we're going to promote something here. I promote what I believe in wholeheartedly. And I can't think they don't. They promote the way they see the world around them. They are men of renown. They are men of renown. They have power. They have the ability to do it. They are doing it. To the population, I'm 52 years old, and the change that I've seen since I got saved, it's happened so subtle. but it's changed drastically. And it's more and more changing all the time. And it isn't, they aren't coming in and beating us. They aren't coming in and making it happen. They ain't pulling the doors down. Although that is a tactic, that's not what's happening. You know, they've infiltrated our schools. They are teaching agendas. They're teaching agendas. The agendas are saying everything against God, Christ. You know, I understand totally why people that don't believe in God wouldn't want somebody that believes in God to pray with students. You know why I believe that? Because when I was a little guy, teachers are right. You know how much influence a teacher has? I don't know what the answer to these math problems is, but the teacher knows. The teacher knows everything. So when they say, we need to pray, that's powerful in the heart of a child. Lord, help us against the influences. The influences of the enemy that is trying to get inside us, to change us. Folks, we're not being, it isn't legalistic, it isn't dogmas that makes us stand up here and say, you be careful about what you watch. It isn't a dogma that makes me stand up here and say, you ought to leave that alone. You ought to be careful with the internet, folks. You know, it's a spectacular thing. Wouldn't it be a wonderful, wonderful world if everything was pure? Now, I want to tell you, that would be a wonderful thing that I didn't have to worry about any clicks that I make. None. I don't have to make any. They're all wonderfully pure and righteous, and I don't have to worry about any of them. But that ain't life. And the truth of it is that this all builds and it builds and it builds. And folks, I want to see us successful another generation from now if the Lord don't come back. I want to see us still standing in the ways of holiness. I don't want to see us moving and maybe saying, this alternative lifestyle, maybe it is okay. I'm going to say tonight, we love everybody, but it is, I'll say it in the fear of God, it is wrong. It is wrong. It's wrong for society. It's wrong for our people. It's wrong for happiness. It's wrong for everything. It is wrong against God. It's wrong. You say we're a people that wouldn't go that far. I'm telling you. You don't know. You don't know how far we might have to be. Wore out. Wore out with these influences. There is things. You know, the nation had a health care debate. And you know, both sides of this argument. I'm not making the argument one way or another. I don't get in things too big for me, so I'm not going to make the argument. I'm going to say this. When people start saying things like, you'll die if you don't, or you'll die if you do, and you're putting life and death in the hands of people, you missed it. You missed it. Both sides are going completely away from God and the whole thing. I've listened to it and said, no, I won't. No, I ain't going to die if I don't do that. Not unless the Lord says I'm going to. And then if he does, it don't make no difference what care I've got. Both sides are trying to scare people with influence to make their point of view and all that. But they're making a mistake, folks. They're influencing people, subtly influencing people, to think that somehow death isn't where death is. You know, Revelation says that he's got the key to it. And he ain't give it to anybody. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. He hasn't given it to your doctor either. The old rabbin said he never gave up the keys to death, life and death, and he don't give it up to the rain. He keeps those keys. So tonight, these clouds and all, you can say whatever you want to about it, they're God's. He holds the rain in his hand. He holds life and death in his hand. He's God tonight. We need to worship him as God. Lord, help us to be the sons of God, led by the Spirit of God. Nations will have their rulers, nations will have their things, all that. I pray for our nation. I want the best thing for it. But folks, you know where what we really want to rule? We can be a subculture here. We ought to be a subculture here. We are of a people that no matter who, if they want to go communist, go communist. Not that I'd want it. You want to be socialist? All the things that men have tried throughout the ages, you can try it again. But within the realms of that, there's going to be a subculture called the Sons of God. There's going to be a people, Lord, help us to go away from this influence that's out there influencing everything, because suddenly we get caught up into the whole things. If we're not careful, we're into the political, we're into the medical, we're into all those. We need to be a subculture to all that. We are led by the Spirit of God, and we're the sons of God. We can pray for this country, the next country, all the country, we can pray for all the people, but Lord, help us to be led of the Spirit of God. These men failed of that. And we come down, and the Scripture says, to make this tight, the Scripture says that in those days, before the flood, the way men were, they went on marrying, giving in marriage, drinking, eating. They went on with life as they tried to run it and rule it and do it and see it, and the way men would do it. They went ahead doing that, and the Spirit of the Lord said, I will preach to them by my Spirit to influence them for 120 years. I will influence them. And guess what? In the mighty God, in the influence of His great Spirit, could not do it. Oh, God can do anything God wills to do, but trample on the creation that He made with the will that He made, and He would not do it other than by influence. And they wouldn't. All the convincing, all the looking, no doubt. How would you have liked to live in a world, folks? How would you like to live into the world that the imaginations of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually? You couldn't trust your neighbor. You got little children, you couldn't trust them to it. You couldn't trust the people around you. This another passage of Scripture is in the 12th verse. Listen to this one. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted His way. Now, wait a minute. His. Who's the His here? I don't see it saying man in there anyway. Nope. The His refers right back to God. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted His way upon the earth. God said in the beginning, He made them male and female. Now, I want to ask you something. Why do you think God thought it was important to say the obvious? In the beginning, He made them male and female. I want you to understand this very well. The first principle of creation of man was that He made them male and female. And you've corrupted my way. I gave men ways and I give women ways. You know, I heard somebody come up with something so profound recently. They said they'd done a study and found out that women were different than men. I said, boy, I wonder how much money they spent on that one. But God stated it in the beginning. It's fairly obvious, but God stated it for a reason. The first principle of His creation, of God's will, what God wants. He wants men, listen. He wants you to be a man. There's reason He put muscles on your body like He did. It wasn't so your wife would have to turn the wrenches. It's so you will. It's not so she'll have to live the heavy loads. It's because so you will. That's why He made you that way. Women, He made you a way too. Now, I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the children, it ain't even close with patience between me and my wife. It ain't even close like that. Male and female is the way He made them. Our world is trying to influence and has influences and been very successful in trying to make our sisters feel like that they're less than important in this world if they haven't done something outside of what God created them to do. It's called influence. And it has attacked our generations. Lord, help us. It's the biblical truth. I'll state this, it's stated in this meeting, God made us male and female. And if you want to argue any other point with that, you can go back to the Bible. He made us male and female. And he said flesh had corrupted all of his way. He has a way. And he leads the sons of God by the Spirit of God. We're the sons of God. And whilst we're led into that inevitable truth of God in creation that created us to be what we are, the way we are, and what we're supposed to be, we corrupt it. Lord, help us. We're influenced by the things that are around us. Be careful, young people, what books you read. What's that author got in mind? You be careful about what's published, the songs that's sung. You know, I went to the library one day, and I was doing a little research. And so I went in and said, I want to hear these arguments, these kind of arguments. And I'm not the kind of person, I don't believe that the devil's hiding behind every tree or he can jump out on me. I believe there's something in me bigger than the devil. I'm not scared of those kind of things. But I've done a little research. And I went and typed in country music. Well, that's what I've done. And I got a result. A list of 75 songs. All-time classic hits, whatever it was, or top the charts, I think it was. 75 songs that had hit number one. The titles of them would make you blush. Oh, some of them was innocent enough sounding. But as I read through them, I thought, there's no holiness in any of this. There isn't anything, the tears in my beer type things, and whose bed did you leave your boots by, and those kind of songs. I'm telling you, folks, this is what, and I'm not telling the graphic stuff. There's stuff that make us blush in those kind of things, and we don't need to justify it or do it because influence. Because of the influence. You get to a place and say, why am I depressed? Bigger. You know, music's wonderful. God made us to be able to sing. God made harmony. God made singing. But you know, the devil's taken everything that was good. You ever hear of the term wicked? Like wicker, which means woven, twisted? He took everything that was good. And he wickered it. Music is good. And he wickered it. Do you know that we can bombard ourselves with that? To the point of killing ourselves? Do you know people can bombard themselves with that kind of stuff and desensitize their ability to receive? It's wonderful. Music's wonderful, but it's also wicked. It's wicked. In the world, it's wicked. It comes from wicked hearts, and it represents wicked things. And wicked men write wicked things, and they have wicked ideas and wicked ways. There is people that have said and ascribed to the idea that things like Disney's okay. Okay, I'll challenge you. I don't believe there's a devil behind every tree, but I also believe that I know the heart of artists too. You better watch out what they do and what they say and the influences they have on your life. Because the sons of God, what a glorious thing to be led of the sons of God. I wonder what, Bible don't tell us these descriptions, but it had to have been good. To compare the two, you could say, they could have said over here on Cain's side, oh, you fuddy-duddies over there, you don't even know what Fonda is. And over here on the other side, they were saying, if they only knew, if they are those poor people, if they only knew what God really does for your heart, if they only knew the deliverance, the freedom, if they only knew the blessings of God Almighty in your life. So there was nothing to do until they got their girls real pretty and shiny. And then when men started going away and the testimony in the generations began to be less and less, and folks, I'm talking seriously to us now. Lord, help us. We can't rely on the past. 2014 is a time for us to have our experience in God. To have the experience for me that's going to hold me against this perverse world. Against Satan coming in with this kind of influence against my life. I want to be the sons of God. I want to be one of the sons. I want to be the influence of God on my life. But if I give in to these other things, we've heard it already. My decisions will not only affect me, they'll affect you, they'll affect my children. And it'll go right on down the line to the place that the Lord looks down upon the earth. And he says, what happened to the sons of God? He looked down upon the earth, and this is the state of them. They become corrupt. All of his, the flesh, all the flesh. The battle between the flesh and the spirit in the old ancient day, the flesh won. Down to the day of Noah. And the Lord in his great heart towards humanity says, I will give them a great opportunity to repent. The ark was big enough for them. Folks, listen. The ark is big enough for you tonight. The ark is still big enough for you. Over in Hebrews, 11th chapter of Hebrews. Oh, it says by faith. Let's see, that's 11 and 7. It says by faith. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. You know, I believe Noah was not fearing the flood itself when he moved. I believe he feared God. You know, there was a son left. Thank God. Thank God. It had whittled down, folks. They had peeled off. Peeled off. Peeled off. But it got down when the Lord looked. One man. One man still was called a son of God. By faith. He moved with fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and by which he condemned the world, and become heir of righteousness which is by faith. Noah condemned the world? You know how Noah condemned the world? If one man can do it, all men can do it. That's as simple as it gets, folks. Noah judged and condemned the world. Because he stood righteous. He didn't have to do it with his mouth. He didn't have to say words. He lived a life and was faithful to God. And because he had faith in God, he condemned the world. They lived after the flesh. They followed after the flesh. They followed after the influences of their time, of their day. But Noah didn't give in to the influences of the day. But wait, Noah, did you not listen to the renowned men? These were scholars of their days. They were thinkers, philosophers. They were great men of conquering and of understandings and of all those things, and they were renowned. But Noah didn't give in to them. Oh, we live in a time of philosophies and thoughts and thinks and ways. We live in a way of humanism. You know what humanism is? Man's superior. Man is his own God. Man can do his own thing. We live in that kind of a world, and it's pushing harder and harder and harder. More and more. There is a great attack against Christianity today. More and more and more. To my despair, a lot of the things that they say is true because people aren't living to the standards of God. The fact of it is Christianity, nominal Christianity, has been a great failure to the delivering of the soul and to showing the world a better way and of a people that lives for God and has faith in God. It's been an abject failure. But it don't change any truth. It doesn't change any of it. The fact of it is that Noah condemned the world because he was faithful to God. And folks, I want us to understand this tonight. If you're here tonight and you've been influenced away from the holy truth, the truth of God's word, if you've allowed the world to influence you, if you've let this old world deceive you and cheat you tonight and make you think that it had something fun, exciting, a way of life that was better and it's cheated you, I want you to know that the Spirit of the Lord is still dealing with the hearts of men. And there is an ark prepared. And the door's open. The door's still open. The game plan's down, folks. It's ready to be boarded. We don't have to perish in this world. This world is going to perish. I can't tell you that Jesus is coming back tonight. I can't tell you he's not. I'm going to tell you. It looks to me like the signs are sure adding up. It's been said before, of course. But Jesus said he was coming back. And he said the days would be like the days of Noah, and they're getting to be like the days of Noah. Bob, all the flesh, the ways of the flesh are so prominent. Whatever makes you feel good, all your life's about being happy in this flesh and having and doing and seeing these, all these things. Lord, help us. He prepared an ark to the saving of his family, of his things. That ark is the hope of mankind. It's the hope of mankind. That is Christ. That door is Christ. That is the salvation of our souls, folks. It's a salvation of our soul. And listen, throughout the ages for our encouragement, God's people have never been conquered other than by influence. God has never allowed his people to go down other than them choosing to go down. Samson didn't have to go down. David didn't have to, and he didn't. He repented and come home. He come to the ark. Folks, you can come back of this. There's a way made. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Oh, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. They are called the sons of God. You know, in 2014, I believe right on, marching right on, we can be the sons of God. We can have victory in our souls. They can cry to this side. They can cry to that side. But let me tell you something else. I believe that right in the middle of people hating Christians, hating that, God can still give favor to individuals. Daniel lived in a time, we heard about Daniel several times, but he lived in a time that they wanted to crush them. They wanted to change them and alter them. And he didn't live in a camp meeting setting like this. Daniel lived in a heathen country, and he was a slave to that country, and he shined, folks, he shined. He laid a he represented there that the kings that he was under, all those different ones, they all come to honor him because of that excellent spirit that he had inside of him. He was led by the Spirit of God. He was a son of God. He didn't allow the influences of idolatry, of what went on around him. He didn't let trickery, he didn't let anything influence him away from his devotion to God. And it made him a son of God. And the devil couldn't take it away from him. No way, he wanted to, but he couldn't do it. Joseph lived through all kinds of things, but because he was faithful, he was elevated in a heathen land. Folks, this land has become about as heathen as any. I mean, be truthful. You know, we have a mission. God's called you to this day. We're called to this day. 2014, cell phone technology, texting, emailing, technology everywhere, medias of all kind, being able to get information. I'm still amazed. You can get on the internet and Google something that comes right up. How-to stuff. Stuff for idiots. That kind of stuff. Is there where you can get information of all kinds? And it's like that, like that, like that. And did you know you can also find what ancient people thought about the Lord? Do you know you can find information that'll stir your heart right there mixed with all that technology? You know God's called us to this time. I don't think God called us to stick our head in the sand. I think he called us to be sons of God. Men, in 2014, you're going to have to turn your head from some stuff, brothers. You're going to have to put restrictions on what you need to be restricted from. You're going to have to put the checks, the balances, you're going to have to do it, and you're going to have to be very, very prayerful and very diligent and be led by the Spirit of God and be successful. Brother Clifford Wilson used to always say, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm saved today." He let you know that he had made one more day saved. He didn't count for tomorrow and the next days. The day was the day he was saved. Saved today. I made it. Thank the Lord through another one. Lord called us to this time. And he didn't call us without victory. The influences of our day are everywhere. And I don't think I need to go any further in explaining them. You know. There is a great influence out there, a pull of the heart. Oh, the great sports world and its heroes. Oh, it's drawing, drawing. What excitement. What, oh, influence. There was so much out there that just, so there. You know, when I grew up, we had, me and my sister, well, in my early days, we had a TV. And best I remember it, it always was real fuzzy and it rolled all the time. And you kind of rolled with it, kind of watch it. You know, and that was technology. That was as far as it went. I don't ever remember caring much about it because you couldn't watch it anyway. That's not the world. In my dad's world, he said anybody that come into their area with a tent automatically had everybody coming out of the woods. Well, what was they going to do anyway? Sat at the house, talked to one another. So they went to the meetings. You know, we're challenged today. Things aren't like that. The competition to the people's minds and hearts. You know what you got to do now more and more? You got to be a friend. You got to make things personal and get in there. More and more and more. You got to make a difference. It's prayer, and that kind of thing. But we're called to this time. We're called to it. Lord, help us to be led by the Spirit of God. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. To be able to go through this time with all those influences going on. And yet me being able to put them aside. Renown. Is by chance anybody in here know the name Michael Jordan? Now, you're chuckling because most everybody in here would say yes, and they don't even watch it. Don't even pay attention to it, but we know that name because it's a name of influence and renown, and it meant something, and people, it's advertisement and all of those. You know, I can list you all kind of names, you know, men of renown and those kind of things. It makes a difference. Starts the heart to wandering in. And Marilyn Monroe, she's been dead since 63. And her name is still understood and known. Renown. Beauty. Lord, help us. My vote is for Jesus. That's renown for me. Jesus. He takes care of it all. He does it for me. It's the fulfillment of it all. Lord, help us tonight. I want to be faithful.